Jesus on the sky. Hallelujah, hallelujah. And the Savior, the saints say, blessed is glorious triumph day. Hallelujah, hallelujah.
Merciful to me, a poor sinful being. Upon this, your confession, I, by virtue of my office as a called and ordained servant of the Word, announce the grace of God unto all of you. And in the stead, by the command of my Lord Jesus, I forgive you all your sins in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen.
The first reading for this morning, the seventh Sunday of Easter, is taken from the book of Acts, chapter 1, beginning with verse 12. Then the apostles returned to Jerusalem from the mount called Olivet, which is near Jerusalem, a Sabbath day's journey away. And when they had entered, they went up to the upper room where they were staying. Peter and John and James and Andrew, Philip and Thomas, Bartholomew and Matthew, James the son of Alphaeus and Simon the Zealot, and Judas the son of James. All these, with one accord, were devoting themselves to prayer, together with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and his brothers. In those days, Peter stood up among the brothers. The company of persons was in all about 120, and said, "Brothers, the scriptures had to be fulfilled, which the Holy Spirit spoke beforehand by the mouth of David concerning Judas, who became a guide to those who arrested Jesus. For he was numbered among us and was allotted his share in this ministry. Now this man, while filled with the reward of his wickedness, and falling headlong, he burst open in the middle and all his bowels gushed out, and became known to all the inhabitants of Jerusalem, so that the field was called in their own language Akeldama, that is, field of blood. For it is written in the book of Psalms, 'May his camp become desolate, and let there be no one to dwell in it, and let another take his office.' So one of the men who have accompanied us during all the time that the Lord Jesus went in and out among us, beginning from the baptism of John until the day when he was taken up from us, one of these men must become with us a witness to his resurrection." And they put forward two, Joseph, called Barsabbas, who was also called Justice, and Matthias. And they prayed and said, "You, Lord, who know the hearts of all, show which one of these two you have chosen to take the place in the ministry and apostleship from which Judas turned aside to go to his own place." And they cast lots for them, and the lot fell on Matthias, and he was numbered with the 11 apostles. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Let us join in chanting the gratitude. Test you as though something strange were happening to you. But rejoice insofar as you share Christ's suffering, that you may also rejoice and be glad when his glory is revealed. If you are insulted for the name of Christ, you are blessed because the Spirit of glory and of God rests upon you. But let none of you suffer as a murderer or a thief or an evildoer or as a meddler. Yet if anyone suffers as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God in that name. For it is time for judgment to begin at the household of God. And if it begins with us, what will be the outcome for those who do not obey the gospel of God? And if the righteous is scarcely saved, what will become of the ungodly and the sinner? Therefore, let those who suffer according to God's will entrust their souls to a faithful Creator while doing good. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, so that at the proper time he may exalt you, casting all your anxieties on him, because he cares for you. Be sober-minded, be watchful. Your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, seeking someone to devour. Resist him. Firm in your faith, knowing that the same kinds of suffering are being experienced by your brotherhood throughout the world. And after you have suffered a little while, the God of all grace, who has called you to his eternal glory in Christ, will himself restore, confirm, strengthen, and establish you. To him be the dominion forever and ever. Amen. This is the epistle of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Please rise. John, the 17th chapter. When Jesus had spoken these words, he lifted up his eyes to heaven and said, Father, the hour has come. Glorify your Son, that the Son may glorify you, since you have given him authority over all flesh, to give eternal life to all whom you have given him. And this is eternal life, that they know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ whom you have sent. I glorified you on earth, having accomplished the work that you gave me to do. And now, Father, glorify me in your own presence with the glory that I had with you before the world existed. I have manifested your name to the people whom you gave me out of the world. Yours they were, and you gave them to me, and they have kept your word. Now they know you. Now they know that everything that you have given me is from you. For I have given them the words that you gave me, and they have received them and have come to know in truth that I came from you. And they have believed that you sent me. I am praying for them. I am not praying for the world, but for those whom you have given me, for they are yours. All mine are yours, and yours are mine, and I am glorified in them. And I am no longer in the world, but they are in the world, and I am coming to you, Holy Father. Keep them in your name, which you have given me, that they may be one, even as we are one. This is the gospel of our Lord. Let us join in confessing our most holy faith in the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Please be seated.
mercy, and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Please be seated. I think it was last Sunday my phone actually kind of beeped, even I forgot to put it on, do not disturb, right? Because I always do that. I always put it on, but I forgot. Now, I had it on last night, and at 4:20, even though it was on, my phone rang, and it shouldn't have. And it was my oldest brother. I went, hello? Oh, you're awake. Yeah. I thought I was going to the answering machine. I said, well, surprise. Talk about your surprises, Ascension Day. What a surprise. I bet you they weren't expecting that one. Of course, we didn't hear that gospel lesson this morning, but we did sing it, that first hymn. You know, that would have been the gospel lesson for Ascension. And what a day that was. But what we did hear was what followed it in Acts. What followed that when they came back to that room that they had been together in for so long. Why were they in that room? Why they were there waiting? Because Jesus told them to wait for the Spirit to come, the Comforter. Now, they didn't know when that would be, but we, of course, do. That'd be next Sunday. But they didn't know that. They didn't know it was going to be on Pentecost. But what a marvelous surprise that was, too. But, you know, they knew the magnitude of what had taken place, so much so that they discussed among themselves and said, you know, there was supposed to be 12, but now there's 11, and we need someone to take the place of Judas who betrayed the Lord. And so they do. And they pray to God that he would choose two. Well, they took two, rather, and choose one of those two. But what were the qualifications? Well, they needed to be one of the men that were there from the beginning of Jesus' baptism right up to the ascension. To be eyewitnesses to everything just as they were. It's interesting because if you ever want to know or memorize who the apostles are, that's a good place to go where it lists them all together. It's not always easy to remember. I bet you if you asked a pastor, he probably might miss one or two. Because, you know, we always hear about the same ones, don't we? James, John, Peter, Andrew, Matthew, you know. We throw in some that aren't. We might say like Mark, Luke. Well, they weren't apostles, but they were important, you know. It kind of reminds me of an old episode of Taxi. And Alex Rieger, played by Judd Hirsch. Y'all remember this show, right? Taxi? Yeah. Well, he was robbed one time by gun, and he suffered a wound on his ear. But he always had a problem after that. When anybody got into his cab, he wouldn't move. And his priest got into a cab. The priest said, you know, are you working? He said, yeah, come on. He figured that was safe. And then he started worrying. And he said to the priest, he said, could you name the apostles for me? Yeah. And so he names off a few like I just did. And then he's kind of stumped, and he says, well, was it sleepy or? And Rieger takes a bat, and Alex takes a bat rather, and starts banging at the cage, telling him, get out. but you know, all joking aside, it's important. It's important because there were 12 tribes of Israel, and Christ is making the new Israel, the new Jerusalem. And he's doing it on these 12 that he chose. Well, one of them is gone. But they know God needs to be involved in it. Now, I don't want you to think of lots as being some kind of chance game. It's not what casting lots is. It's not like they were doing dice at a casino. We actually don't know what it was that they did when they cast lots. which is interesting, because we know that the soldiers at the foot of the cross cast lots for the robe of Jesus so that it wouldn't be torn in two. Now, that was a game of chance for them. I guess one could say it's not a game of chance when they're doing it with the disciples, because they prayed to God, that God's will would be done here. And they didn't want to leave it to chance, actually, and that's not what they do. So don't ever think that. But it's important that the 12 be made whole. Jesus said that the teachings of the apostles, the pillars really, the 12 spiritual fathers, in a sense, for us, they lay the foundation. And they go out into the world. They go different places into the world. And they proclaim the gospel. Some of them have a short ministry in that, and some have rather long ministries in that. It just depended when God wanted to say, it's time for your work to end here. Come up and enjoy what I have given you, which is God's kingdom. He came into this world and he does the work of God. Now, we heard Jesus in the gospel lesson praying to the Father, and he prays about him glorifying, that God would glorify him as he has glorified the Father. I used to have a problem with that whole word glory. You know, what does that mean? How does one glorify something? And I started thinking at one time, a long time ago, well, no one gives God glory. He already has glory. It's his. So how can we give him glory? But I'm looking at it the wrong way. I'm not looking at it the right way. And I finally heard something that answered that question for me. It's displaying God. Jesus displays the Father in himself. God glorifies the Son, where? On the cross. Because that's the place where Jesus receives his reign, by dying on that cross. When he died on that cross, it meant the end for the rule of Satan. It meant his end. Satan didn't want him to go to the cross, ever. Because that's why he came. He came to die on the cross so that Satan would be defeated, that sin would be paid for, and death would also be ended. Death becomes for the followers of God, the people that Jesus prays for, an entryway into his kingdom. But the story goes further than that, because Jesus ascends into heaven and he reigns. And all of his enemies have become his footstool. All those who are truly his enemies. Who are those? Well, the principalities and rulers of Satan. And sadly, those who reject him in the end. Not those who nailed him on the cross. Not those who stood around and jeered at him. None of those people would have been in that list of those who become his footstool. Because he came to die to lift us up and make us his brothers and sisters. He died for those people that nailed him on the cross. He died for us, Jews and Gentiles alike. He did that to bring us into his family. And he is our king, and he does rule over us, but we're not his footstool. We reign with him. We reign with him. That's what Jesus says. We are co-heirs with him. Not by our works, not by our doing, but by his. Because he glorified the Father. Because he displayed the Father's will in his life. He was obedient even unto death. Even death on the cross. He is raised to life. That's the Father glorifying the Son again. He raises him to life to show that what he did for us was payment in full. Sin no longer has power over us. Peter, writing to his listeners, his hearers or readers, writes words of comfort to them, and that they should know that during times of suffering or hardship, don't look at it, at this as in any way being something strange. Why? Because those things already happen. They always happen. But he says, look at it differently. Because Christ came and suffered for you. And you share in his suffering. How do we share in his suffering? Through baptism. Through baptism. Because we were put to death with Christ on the cross. His suffering is our suffering. His death is our death through baptism. And his resurrection, his life, is also ours through that same baptism. So Peter encourages his readers to be of courage, be strong, because your Lord is victorious, because he has won the battle. So whatever suffering you go through, he wants us to know, it's temporary. Just like today, what we're going through with COVID-19. It's not permanent. I get tired of people saying the new normal. There isn't going to be a new normal. There may be for a short time. But people will go back to being people. We're going to wind up hugging one another, high-fiving one another, shaking hands firmly, you know, in time. But these things pass. They always pass. But what doesn't pass sometimes is fear. Fear gets in the way, and fear upsets things, and we need to stop. Stop being afraid. Because we have a Lord who is victorious, who the disciples saw ascend into heaven, who saw and heard the angels telling them he will return again just as you have seen him leave. He is victorious. He doesn't ascend in defeat. He ascends in victory. He ascends to the Father's right hand. He has given back all of that which he emptied himself of in order to become a servant. Even though he rules, he still serves, because it is the way of God. God always serves his creation. He takes care of his creation. He takes care of his people. We don't always see it, nor do we necessarily receive that care the way we would want to receive it. But we know he hears us, and he does give to us what we need because he knows what it is we need. Mostly we need to know and understand and remember that we weren't meant for a fallen world, and we weren't meant to be fallen people. What Christ has done was to restore us, even though in this life, in this place, we are fallen. Yet we are lifted up, and we are declared saints. Just as Christ descended into hell and then ascended into heaven, so we too through our baptism. We belong to God. We belong to Christ. So what is there to fear? And St. Paul has plenty of places he talks about that very thing. What do we have to fear? We don't have God to fear. He's the one who sent Christ. We don't have to fear Christ. He died for us. So what is there to be afraid of? Death no longer has the power it once had. Where is your sting, O death? Where is your victory, right? We have nothing to fear in this life. Oh, for a time, we may be worried. We may be concerned. And yes, we may even sometimes be afraid. But when those times come, turn to God, turn to him in prayer, and look to Christ, and look to that cross that he suffered on for you and I. Because that's our payment. We don't have a God to be afraid of. We have a God we glorify. We display him in our own lives. We display our faith in Christ when we speak well of one another, when we forgive each other our sins, when we reach out to those who are in need. We are glorifying our Lord Jesus because we are displaying him in our lives so that people can see God and know that he cares for them. You and I, Thankfully, I got a different view of glory. We get to do that. And what an honor it is. What a magnificent day Ascension was for the disciples. And then, like I said, they realized the magnitude. They needed that wholeness. And the church always needs that wholeness. And God gives it to us. So whatever fears that we harbor, whatever they are, whether it's COVID-19 or something else, goodness, there's plenty to be afraid of, that sometimes I wonder why anybody would exit their house. It might seem safer there, but in truth, it's not. You could slip and break a hip or something like that, and no one would know, and eventually you die. So what did fearing do for you? Now, that's just hypothetical. I'm not wishing that on anyone. But what is there to fear? We have a Savior who is victorious. And because He is victorious, we are victorious. Because He is risen, we too have been raised to life. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.
Thank you.
Guard your people, O Lord, and grant us unity of faith and singleness of heart as we come to you in prayer. Lord, you have promised not to abandon your people, but to be with us always. Grant us grace to hear your word with faith and receive your holy sacraments with repentant hearts, and to keep what we hear and receive upon our lips and holy lives. Lord, in your mercy, Lord, you have delivered the saints from fiery trial and raised up the martyr from the darkness of death to everlasting life. Give us courage that we may give bold witness to the truth in our own day and proclaim Jesus Christ to the ends of the earth. Lord, in your mercy, Lord, you have pledged to us your spirit and promised to supply your church with pastors who will preach and teach your word. Give us ears to hear and hearts to believe your word. Raise up those who will serve your church in generations to come, that we may never be without the aid of those to serve us in your name. Lord, in your mercy.
Amen.
Lord, you have power over all things and appoint an order on earth for the protection of the weak, the punishment of evildoers, and encouragement of virtue. Bless Donald, our president, Greg, our governor, and all who make, administer, and judge our laws. Give them wisdom for the challenges of our times and preserve them from self-serving concerns. Give us grace that we may honor the gift of liberty and be good citizens and neighbors to all. Lord, in your mercy.
Amen.
Lord, you have compassion upon all who suffer. Give back to the sick, to those with mental illness, to the dying in their last hours, and to those who grieve. Hear us especially for Pastor Scott Stallings, Robert Galdias, Jan Johnson, Bo Wolf, Pastor Mark Seeger, Nelson Meyer, Glory Havman, and Larry Foltz. And those we name now in our hearts before you. Grant them patience in their afflictions and deliver them according to your gracious will. Lord, in your mercy. Lord, you are the source of all wisdom and knowledge. Bless those who teach, those who learn, and especially those who graduate this year. Be the hope of those whose plans have been disappointed, and grant that all graduates would find good employment. Guide them in the pursuit of your word and truth to live honorable lives and worthy vocations, that in all things you may be glorified. Lord, in your mercy. Lord, you have daily and richly supplied us with all things for this body and life. Give us grateful hearts that we may receive your gifts with thanksgiving and bring to you our tithes and offerings. Lord, in your mercy. Lord, we rejoice in the Savior's promise to guard the people who wear your name by baptism and faith. Until we are with you in your presence forevermore, guard us against the devil who prowls about like a roaring lion, seeking those whom he may devour. Grant us the power to resist him and trust in you without fear. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. The Lord be with you. Receive the benediction. Did I forget something?
No, you didn't do a call.
I didn't do what? Oh, a call?
You don't have to, but...
No. I got one. I just forgot to put it out here. I went looking for this...
Thank you.
So
put that in practice.
Let us pray the prayer for the calling, the closing calling. Cause all holy scriptures to be written for our learning. Grant that we may so hear them, read, mark, learn, and inwardly digest them, that by the patience and comfort of your word, we may embrace and ever hold fast the blessed hope of everlasting life. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious unto you. The Lord look upon you with favor and give you his peace.
Amen. Lord, hear.